This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. Here we are on Zoomer Radio. How are you this morning, Charlie?
Well, two things. One is I can't decide whether I should just pull out my long underwear and leave them out for the next few months. And I'm wondering, Dean, how does it feel to be 39 again?
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, exactly. Hello, are you there?
Hello. How many times have I been 39 now? You know what? No, I am wearing my age very happily. You know, and this is in no way to bring things down at all, but you know, you and I and there's people out there that don't make it to my age. And so,
right.
You know, I am not complaining about 59.
Of course not. No.
And so 59 as 59. Of yesterday. Woohoo.
Woohoo.
So which is a bit odd because now it is kind of weird to think that I've begun my 60th year of life now.
On the planet. Yes.
Yeah.
I know.
But it's good. It's good.
I had
a busy day and your day is coming up.
It is. And, you know, like who's got time for birthdays? I mean, you're like nonstop, you know, Mr. Radio, Mr. Dance Recital, you know, dad of many. And what a busy guy.
Yeah. And I had a concert last night in Thornbury at part of the Thornbury Jazz series. And so that was great. Yeah.
Nice.
Some musicians that joined me. And it was great. It was great, great, great. Good for the soul.
Yes. Staying busy is very good for the soul.
And good for the noggin. I think, you agree. I mean, it's nice to keep busy doing things.
Sure.
And gardening, you know, to loop it back to this, I think gardening is a huge part of that. I think that gardening is something that is also good for the soul. It is good for the head. And so gardening is a great pastime.
It's good on so many levels. Like it's good for the body, right?
Yep.
Just
the
lifting, the bending, the moving, the fresh air. It's great for the psyche. Obviously it's great for the environment. And it's just good for the soul is a good way to say it too. I think there's a nurturing, caring part about gardening that affects us. It makes us better people, really. You know, like I always say, you know, you will run into the odd gardener who's having a bad day and is in a bad mood, but you'll never, ever meet a mean gardener. Like gardeners are just generally really nice people.
Yeah.
You know,
I would agree. I would agree. Yeah. And I was actually already out, not doing gardening, but
no.
I took compost out. I visited the composter and dumped that in there. And then when I was walking down to move my vehicle a little bit closer to the, from unloading from my concert last night, I looked on the lilac trees and I could see that there are little buds starting.
Yeah.
And I noticed some other things coming up. I think it could be the hostas, possibly closer to the house, that are maybe starting to peek out their little heads.
Makes sense.
Topped up the bird bath and I topped up the bird feeder. So
good.
I was outside.
Good.
I have to tell you, I don't want to forget, I saw something on, when I came in, I saw something on my front lawn that in the 14 years I have never seen on our front lawn.
A squirrel?
And no, a red fox. I have never seen a red fox on my front lawn during the day.
Oh.
And it just, all of a sudden, it was like right below the bird feeders kind of like, and it wasn't, it was on a mission. It had somewhere to go. But I just have never seen one in my front yard.
Okay, but because that's cool. I mean, I think it's cool. The foxes right now would be out hunting because the kits are born in early March, mid-March. So there's likely a den with mom and babies, and that's dad out doing some hunting. Like I actually one time, a number of years ago, saw a fox. We have a lot of voles and mice here, and it was so interesting because he like, speaking of being on a mission, this fox was on such a mission, went from vole hole to vole hole, frantically dug up the voles. But then he went and he put them at the base of a tree. Like he would take he'd crunch it in his jaws, kill it, drop it by the tree, and then go back and get another one. Till he had about four or five, you know, piled up dead animals, and he grabbed them all in his jaws and he took them away. And I was like, oh, wow, talk about being on a mission. There's a family to feed.
And efficiency.
Yeah. It was so obvious that he wasn't just feeding himself. Like, he was really out doing a number. He was at the grocery store, so to speak, at my house. But anyway, you want to do the numbers?
And I was going to say, speaking about doing a number, I should do a number.
Yeah.
Yeah. 416-360-0740 is the Toronto number. And 1-866-740-4740 is the number that you would use if you still live in Ontario, but outside of the city of Toronto.
Still live in Ontario.
If you still live here, yeah. If you're still, I meant if you are still, I don't know what I meant. Anyway, don't give me a hard time.
I love it. Here we go.
We would love for you to let Tanishka know if this is your first time calling, because then I will give you the garden wings and, call often, call early. One question per call, please.
And there's no better time for garden wings, because this is the best time. I mean, things are just starting to wake up at my house. There's, like you said, little tips of things starting to sort of pop up. But it's chilly. It's well below zero. Well, it's a good 5 degrees or so below zero at my house right now. And I live in a particularly cold part of the county. I live in Prince Edward County, just south of Belleville. And I've been to friends' gardens and yards in the last few weeks. And they're like weeks ahead of me, just because they're much more sheltered where they're located. We're all getting the same sun. We're not all necessarily getting the same temperatures and rainfall, but nevertheless, I am just so exposed to the wind and the cold that it does make my garden behind, so slower than many, and still mostly sleeping right now. I did see the odd spider running around, so a few of the little insects and arachnids have woke up. And so there's a little bit of that going on. Obviously, the bulbs are excited and want to get perking along. But so far, yeah, it's just feeding those birds and keeping that bird bath full. Mm-hmm. But for anybody who wants to get out and chat up some more friendly gardeners, remember that today, I was thinking something else here. Yeah, it is today. Today, the Greater Toronto Bulb Society is meeting. So that's today from at 1:30. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's not even today. It's tomorrow. Good golly. I'm getting old. Here we go. Who am I? Where am I? What are we doing here?
I'll give you the garden wings. There you go. I'm distracting them for you.
I need that. The Greater Toronto Bulb Society is meeting tomorrow. Don't go today. Go tomorrow to the Toronto Botanical Gardens. That's at 777 Lawrence Avenue East at Leslie, 1:30 p.m. Gary Edwards from Meadowview Nursery is sharing info and plants. He's talking all about early blooming hepaticas. So one of the most important early bloomers. That's a good point. Actually, I saw some crocuses. I've had very few crocuses survive at my place because they blow away, I think. But I do have a few blooming crocuses right now, which is great. You always want those early blooming flowers for the early waking up insects.
Okay, okay. So, well, you know what? I think what we're going to do, we do have a couple of callers on the line, but we're very, very close to our first break. Okay. So I'm going to give out those phone numbers one more time, because again, don't leave it to the last 15 minutes, if at all possible, because, we can't always get you in then. We run out of time. So call now, get in line, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740, and we will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show, and I am already so proud. I am proud because I can see that so many lines are ringing. And that is good. And that's going to mean that Tanisha is going to be busy today. But but that is a good thing. We're going to go to our first caller right now. We have Gabriella on the line. She's from Richmond Hill, your old stomping grounds there, Charlie. Let's welcome to The Garden Show, Gabriella.
Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Dean. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a problem with hibiscus.
Yeah.
Somebody brought me a hibiscus in the fall to take care of it. All mm-hmm. of a sudden, they started to drop the leaves. And mm-hmm. I saw the pot was about 4 inches. The hibiscus about a little bit over six feet tall. So I changed the pot. There were so many roots. Hopefully, I say it's not going to, I don't know, something happened. It doesn't have no life. I don't know. You think it's going to survive?
Oh. Okay, good question. When did you repot it?
Not even a couple of weeks after she brought it to me.
So, and that was last fall?
Correct.
Okay, and since then, it's been sitting in a pot, sitting in a sunny windowsill, I assume?
Yep.
And nothing has
window,
happened.
West light. I have a sunroom. It's in there, right okay. under the skylight. There's the window, in the west, the sun. There's a lot of sun. There's okay. no problem so, there. I so have so many plants in there. I have four of my own.
Sure.
You know, nothing happened to them. But that one, because the pot was small, there were so many roots. Are there any soil? Mm-hmm. I removed some of it. Not too many.
Well, good. I'm glad you did that because you're right. Hibiscus, this is the tropical hibiscus we're talking about, are very vigorous rooting plants. Like they just fill a pot with roots and don't even think twice about it. So it could have died. But what I would do, do two things. I mean, it's been there for quite a few months now, so it's interesting. You haven't seen anything. But to get something going, get out your pruners or a sharp pair of scissors. Cut this plant down. Cut it down to even half. Did you leave it like 4 feet tall?
I left as it was brought it to me because it's not mine. So a friend of mine, I'm taking care of it.
Okay. So you went from a little tiny pot.
I have to ask if I can prune it down because, you know.
You have to. You have to prune it down to try and wake it up if it's still alive. Also, mm-hmm. What size pot did you put it into?
I put about six, seven inch, you know.
Okay.
I was going to say, 8 inches wide, the pot.
Good. Okay. So I was going to say, I hope you didn't do like a 20 inch pot or something because that, that never works. So you went from a small pot to a one size up. Perfect. It's been sitting in the sun. It's just sitting there. So time to cut it down. See what happens. When you cut into it, you should see a white center in the stems, not yellow, mm-hmm. not brown, but white. It's called the pith. And you mm-hmm. should see under the brown bark a very, very fine layer of green, a layer of green cells, which will tell you this plant is alive. So, and mm-hmm. even it won't be crispy. It won't be all, you know, dead, like dead wood is, you know, dry and wrinkled. It should have some life in it. So by cutting it down, you will force it to wake up. So that's what I would do. Do it today if you can. Sharp scissors, pruners. Cut it right down. I don't, you know, like I said, you can go as much as half if it's still 4 feet tall in a 6 inch pot. You don't want a big tall, it'll be top heavy anyway. So you want to bring it right down. Let me know if you see, you should start to see some little green
branches,
buds.
They're still, you know, like flexible. Looks like it's still alive, but there is nothing coming out, not leave, nothing.
Okay, so if you don't want to cut it down by half, then just cut all the tips off. Go around every branch and take off half an inch on every tip. And again, that mm-hmm. should wake it up. It's dormant right now. You're trying to wake it up. You're going to force it awake by pruning. All right, let me know how that works out.
Thanks very much, Gabriella. Okay,
we're going to have a nice Easter.
Thank you too. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to jump to our next caller. We have Anne on the line from Georgetown. Welcome to the Garden Show, Anne.
Charlie, Howard.
I'd
like to ask Charlie, how do I keep my rabbits and squirrels out of eating all my bulbs that are coming up?
I'm gonna send you that fox that I had in my front yard. How's that?
Oh, I already have him.
Oh, dear. Well, that should help. Like foxes definitely keep the squirrel and rabbit population down, which has its advantages. So from eating your bulbs. Okay, you can get a dog. Dogs can be quite helpful at scaring away rabbits and squirrels. At this time of year, it is challenging because particularly the squirrels, they'll just wait and then they'll bite off the flowers and leave the leaves. And it's so frustrating. So what do? We have mechanical barriers. The old chicken wire isn't pretty and isn't easy to install, but it protects your bulbs from the vegetarians that are out there making a salad out of your garden. You don't like that. There is a product that I use quite often, and it does work. And I think it would work for you now, as long as you follow the instructions. It's called Plant Skid. I've mentioned it online before. I'm just going to double check the spelling because I can never remember how to spell it.
Been putting cayenne pepper and all that all over it and all that. In the nighttime, I put have a big sheet. I've been covering them with sheets, but now I got planters all onto the top of the ones that are I can get at. I don't squash them all up.
Sure. Right. And that's going to be challenging because, I mean, if they're under the planters, they won't grow properly. And you could cover them at night, particularly because it's so cool, been cool, but you don't want them covered all day. It would look silly and you sort of defeats the purpose of beautiful bulbs. So
I know, but I keep chasing them, the squirrels in that away.
Yeah, well, this is available at Canadian Tire, and I'm sure it's available at many garden centers. So Plant, just like the word plant, and then Skid, S-K-Y, D as in dog, D as in dog. So two Ds, okay. Plant Skid. It is a completely organic spray. It is something that won't damage. See, the cayenne pepper has its challenges. We sprinkle it around. The theory is that the bunny rabbits or the squirrels are sniffing and they sniff up some of this cayenne pepper and then they start sneezing uncontrollably and they run away. They, it's all quite destructive in a sense that it could hurt them or they could hurt themselves. So, and it doesn't really work in the long term because of course rain or wind and it all blows away and you got to put the cayenne pepper back on. So
yeah.
So this Plant Skid product is good for 3 months. So you follow the instructions. I think it has to be above zero to spray it. And of course you would spray it on a non-windy day, but you would spray the foliage, like spray what you see above ground that any of the little varmints are chewing on. It keeps away mammals. So it was all started to keep away elk and deer, and it works on them as well, but it also works on squirrels and groundhogs and whoever else might be chewing in your garden. So it's certainly worth a try.
It's in a container. I don't have to use a hose for it, do I?
No, you can just buy it in a little spray bottle, like ready to go.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much, Anne. Yep.
Thanks for calling.
Great day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Here are the numbers again: 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show on this 28th of March, final weekend of March. And, of course, we are full week into spring now, but the temperatures really are quite cool. And, it's supposed to be, I think it's supposed to warm up. And then what I saw was it was going to get up to about 13 or so by Wednesday. And then right back down to zero again. So, it's doing the dance.
April Fools.
Yep.
That'll be us.
Yeah, it's doing the dance.
I know, but it's normal, right? We're okay with this. And it buys us a bit more time if we're busy with family stuff and birthdays, et cetera. It buys us, I actually like a really cool spring. This is a little cooler than I would like, but still, I like a long, drawn-out spring. So we really get the benefit of the bulbs and the flowering shrubs. And, nothing's flowering at my place yet other than the odd little crocus, but still I'll be whining about the heat before you know it.
Sure. I agree with you. I would rather, it's better for the flowers if it doesn't come on too hard and too fast from what I've learned from you. And I like the tiptoe, a little bit of back and forth. It's a little bit of dance around zero. And I too am looking forward to wearing my shorts and my t-shirts, but we're not quite there yet, but I'm still enjoying the spring thus far.
Right. It's just, it's the long underwear I'm not ready for.
Yeah, fair enough. I did have to laugh at Anne's call. I have my own, we all have had our grief with our squirrels. I mean, I have an ongoing battle with them as well, with the bird feeders and, I've tried a few different things. So, just all of the things that she was trying and that you guys were discussing that thing. And it did bring to mind all those old Looney Tune commercials, of Coyote and Roadrunner and, you know, the sticks of dynamite and the TNT and the
anvil
falling and all the anvils.
It never worked.
Never worked. That's the lesson, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it just never worked, you know, and so it just.
But, you know, Anne reminded me of something, and actually Rosemary Dobson, who is a consistent emailer to me. Thank you, Rosemary, for events. So keep that in mind, everybody. If you have an event, you can email me and I can announce your event. And so yes. Dean will remind you, get your pens out, what my email address is. But please don't tell me 2 months in advance on your event because I won't remember it. Give me, you know, 2 weeks notice on your events, and I'd love to announce them if I can. But Rosemary had an issue. All winter she's had rabbits chewing on some of her plants. Mm-hmm. I've got a fair amount of rabbit damage on a burning bush, lots of little bunny poop all around it. So I know they've been busy. And then I remembered I got an email last spring from a person, a listener, and she recommended a product. So it's called Lac, L-A-C, balsam, just like the tree, Lac balsam. It's a European-developed synthetic bark wound dressing. It's used to seal tree wounds from pruning, from rodents, and from ice damage. So I think some of us out there might be struggling right now with some broken branches, some peeled bark, some missing bark, some chewed plants. So Lac balsam protects against infection. It protects against drying out. It remains flexible to allow the plant to grow beneath the Lac balsam. It is available in tubes or big tubs. Apparently it works. The person who I've never used it, but apparently it worked quite well for the person who emailed me this information last year. So just something to think about if you're struggling with damage to some of your woody plants. Now, you wouldn't put this Lac balsam on your tulips because it's a wound dressing. Okay. But if you've got bark missing or some woody plant damage, consider seeing if you might be able to get a hold of LAC balsam.
Okay, nice. Let's go to our next caller. We have Ray on the line, and Ray is calling from Oshawa. Good morning. Welcome to the Garden Show, Ray.
Good morning, guys. How's it going out there? Pretty good?
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thank you.
What I'm calling about is 2 years ago, I built up garden beds. I put in a new garden bed 18 inches high all around the outside of my garden. Mm-hmm. Boy, that was the best thing ever done. Now, when I did that, I put 10 yards of soil in, and then I put 15 bags of the big, huge Miracle-Gro bags from the Costco. And my garden was lovely. But last year, the garden by the deck was lovely soft. The garden by the shed was lovely soft. But the rest of them, the garden was as hard as a rock. And I want to know, if I put pro mix in, would that loosen up the soil? Like, what can I add to the soil that will make the soil a more looser product and give some good organic material into that soil for this year?
Okay, great question. So these are sounds like quite a few raised beds that you created. Most of them are fine.
The whole perimeter of the garden. I was a paramedic for 30 years, so my back and my knees are shot.
It's great.
Fantastic for keeping the weeds out.
And so much easier to garden too, to weed so and to harvest.
I have a lot of creeping Charlie on my grass. I can't, no matter what I do, I can't get rid of it. So that was always going in the garden. So it stopped all that nonsense. Yeah.
Oh, I loved raised beds. So great idea. So, okay. It depends how much volume it is you're trying to fill here. Pro Mix is lovely stuff, but it's very light. It is peat based. You can't go wrong adding Pro Mix to any of your planters, your raised beds, your pots. Gosh, if you could afford it, use it as a lawn top dressing. It's excellent. So nothing against it, but it is fairly expensive. In my raised garden beds, because I did the same thing. I built some and I filled them mostly just with triple mix, like a good quality triple mix. What is triple mix? One third garden soil, one third manure, and one third peat moss. I filled with that, but then I mulch the top after I've planted. So with a crushed bark mulch, and that proceeds to decompose. And so every year I'm always adding because it drops, the level of the soil drops. But I've never put the expensive.
I put a garden hose in the garden last year to water it because it goes all the way around. And I can now see the garden hose, like the, it's dropped that much, impacted that much. So you figure a triple mix with one third manure and one third peat moss and just mix that all together?
But that's what triple mix is. Like the company who calls it triple mix, read what's inside it, because it'll somewhere in the small print tell you what's inside that bag. So you want it to be triple. So the three things in triple mix are manure, peat moss, and just regular garden soil or topsoil or black earth. So if you can get that, I buy a bunch of bags of that and get that and mix it lightly. Just mix it in the top inch or two. Don't dig all the way down. You know, it'll mix itself if you just kind of get it on the surface. And don't hesitate to mulch after you've planted with bark, with straw, with whatever you have handy.
So mulch, even at now where things aren't starting to come up, I could put the mulch on there too? Not yet.
Wait until things are up. So it'll be, you know, after things have thawed, it will be late May, early June before we're adding any mulch.
Okay, because last year I just added a cow and sheep manure to it, figuring that might loosen it, but it didn't loosen it up a bit.
It will. I mean, that's the other thing, is just get a bunch of manure, cow or, you know, cattle or sheep, and just add that in. I'd watch the flyers, see what's on sale, get organic matter in one way or the other, and make it affordable, because you want to fill it right back up to the top.
Yeah, I know. It has to come up another probably 2 or 3 inches at least. It dropped down over the winter time and that. I love my garden. And of course, my back and my knees from my generation, paramedics, our equipment did not help us.
Yeah.
So by raising the garden, big difference. But I'll get that fixed. I've still got to fight my creeping Charlie. I don't know how I'm going to get rid of that.
Good luck with that. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Ray.
Really, that, Charlie.
Thank you. Good point. Really good point. That idea of raising our soil levels back up in all our gardens, whether it's in the ground, but particularly in those raised planters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the idea of this is quite attractive, I have to say. I've seen some of them, and they look great. They look great. Okay, let's go to Crystal. Crystal on the line from Toronto. Welcome to the Garden Show, Crystal.
Thank you. It's my first time.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. There you go, your garden wings.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I've just inherited my mom's house, and she's got a huge butterfly plant in the front. It's like 7 feet tall. What do I do with it? Does it get trimmed now? Because it shouldn't, I don't think, get higher. What do I do?
Okay, so you know what you do? Just watch it. For now, don't do anything. What you're going to see in the next month or few weeks, because I don't think you're seeing this yet, is green growth. Usually it's only at the bottom of the plant. It's a pretty cold winter. We had some pretty low temperatures, even in Toronto. So I think you'll find that the top 6 feet is dead, but the bottom 1 foot is alive. And you'll see that when we start to warm up a bit, we start to see a little bit of growth, you'll see little green buds starting to pop out on that plant. So generally what we do with butterfly bush is we just chop it right down to where the green growth is. So that means taking off, in your case, the top 6 feet, composting, and keeping the bottom foot.
Well, and I can definitely see the green at the bottom.
Oh, can you already? Okay. So on a dry day, which it is.
I mean, in general, that's what I am definitely looking for.
Okay. Yep. That's exactly what you're looking for. You will see it when it starts to warm up. If it's alive, which it likely is, because it's probably pretty old when it's grown that kind of a height. It's a zone 6 plant. So sometimes if it's a really bad winter, they will suddenly die. But generally the root stays alive and all the top growth dies. So we kind of treat them like a herbaceous perennial, even though they look like a woody shrub and they are called a butterfly bush. So we treat them like we would treat a hosta or daylily. So everything above ground is dead and everything below ground is alive. But wait another couple of weeks till you start to see where the life is in the plant.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys.
Thank you very much for calling. And
Bye.
Don't be a stranger.
Now that I've got your phone number, we're good to go.
There you go. Yeah.
Put that in speed dial.
We'll look forward to you being a regular caller. That's great.
Bye.
Have a great day, Crystal. Charlie, we you'll recall we had a caller a couple of weeks ago, Kathy in Dundas, who had some issues with some ornamental grass that, of course, can really, really, really take over areas. And so she was looking for ways to get it out. And,
right, because in her case, that was what did she say? I think it was like years. The grasses had been growing there for, there was zebra grass and porcupine grass. Well, she had miscanthus morning light, very pretty grasses, but overgrown and too much. She was, I was saying, you know, find a teenager to help you dig them out. And she was like, oh, I don't know. So Kathy, if you are listening, I hope you are, can you send me an email? c.dobbin@mzmedia.com, because we found, lucky us, for you, somebody who would like to help you with those grasses. He'd happily help dig them out and happily do some plant sharing with you. But I need to give you his name and his phone number, and he has reached out to us because he'd like to reach out to you. So, Kathy, if you or anybody you know can is listening and can tell you, send me an email, and let's get put you two together if we can.
I love that. Speaking of which, you you mentioned earlier your email. So, yeah, if there's an announcement regarding a garden club or that type of thing that you'd like to get Charlie again, please don't send it a couple of months in advance. Maybe a couple of weeks is best. And or to get in touch with her, if you've got a photograph you want to send her or something, C.Dobbin. So C.Dobbin at MZ Media is Charlie's email. Speaking of which, I got an email here from Jean. Is in South Mississauga. Hello, Charlie. For years, I've been putting slug be gone on my garden in spring and summer. And sorry, on the lawn, spring and summer. And this is about one third of my front lawn. Not a big lawn. This must have gotten ahead of me last year. Skunks, I gather, had a feast. My question is, if I pull up this sod and put down new sod, will that help with the slug problem, or are the slugs deeper down in the soil and they would just come up through the new sod if not treated? I think that's a great question.
Well, it is a great question, and I think it's probably going to be a greater question as more people start seeing damage from not slugs, but grubs. So what's the difference between a slug and a grub? A slug actually is at its full adult size and you know, sort of life when it's in the shape of a slug. And of course they are, it's like a snail without a, without a house. So slugs are the ones that they crawl along and they leave a mucus trail and they slide on that mucus trail. Grubs, on the other hand, are not slugs. Grubs are a baby form of an adult insect. So grubs are also known as caterpillars or larvae. They, start as eggs, they become larvae, they then metamorphose. Like think of butterflies, of course, they are larvae or caterpillars at some point and then become beautiful butterflies. So the grubs in our lawn will become beetles eventually. But while they're in the larval form, we call them grubs. They are white, they have a little brown head. If you dig one up and it lies on the ground or put it in the palm of your hand, it's in the shape of the letter C. It's got six little legs, a little brown head, and a very, not very pretty white body because they live underground. So they are just completely white and they chew the roots of our plants. In the case of lawns, they can do quite major damage because you don't usually just find one grub. You find, you know, 2,000. So that becomes the issue, that the amount of damage that all those grubs can do. So on the one hand, the skunks are doing Gene a favor. They are eating those grubs that are eating his lawn.
Because so, my understanding is they can smell them from up top.
I guess. In the case of skunks, yes, I would think so. Now, they aren't typically out yet because the grubs are down deep. They overwinter below the frost line. So that could be 3 or 4 feet below surface. As the weather starts to warm up, the grubs start to rise up to the surface. Now we start seeing the skunk damage, the raccoons, the starlings. We start seeing all kinds of creatures who love eating those fat, juicy grubs, digging up our lawns to get it. So yes, on the one hand, yes, let them do it. Let them have a feast. Don't try and fix your lawn. Don't try and put any insecticides on your lawn yet, because there's no point. You won't, there is no insecticide that will kill the grubs in the spring. You'll have to wait until later. Fix your lawn probably mid-May, late May, early June. So raking, dead stuff, new soil, new seed, or new sod. Gene mentioned sod. Yes, you are going to have to resod if it's a small lawn. Why not? Fix it all up, level it, new sod. You'll be fine until the next generation starts. So every single late summer, we have to remember to get a hold of one of two things, nematodes or a product called Bug Be Gone. So Bug Be Gone is made by Scotts. They're pretty happy. Actually, it's called Grub Be Gone Max. It's available at Home Depot's and Rona's. I do not believe it's going to do you any help at this point. You wait. It can't in the spring. Don't waste your money. It's not going to work.
They probably can't go down deep enough in the spring, right?
Well, but the grubs are coming up anyway. Yeah. The problem is that it's hard to explain this quickly, but they were little grubs when they were down in the fall. They're bigger grubs when they come up in the spring. And believe it or not, imagine yourself crawling through a couple of feet of soil. What do you think would happen to your outer skin? It gets really tough. Mm-hmm. It gets quite like armor almost. It's not armor. It's still soft, but it's really leathery by the time that insect has gone down and come up. So the problem with insecticides is they don't really penetrate that leathery skin of a spring grub. They do. The insecticide works great in late summer because they're young grubs and they have thin skin. But yeah, the insecticides aren't really much help right now. There may be some nematodes that might be available for now. Let the skunks and raccoons go to town, and we'll start worrying about killing the grubs when we're in a position to do so, which will be the next generation.
Okie dokie. We have lots of room on the line. 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740, and we'll be right back for much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show, and we'll jump right into our next caller. We have Richard on the line. And Richard, where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello. Good morning.
Hi. It is Richards, Rahi Richards. I'm calling from Whitby, Ontario.
Oh, okay. Nice. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Oh, hi, Charlie. I belong to the Brooklyn Garden Club.
Anyway, oh, yes.
This is my first call to you. I listen to you every week.
All right. You're going to have to wait for some wings.
There you go.
Thanks for calling.
Last year, I had the rabbits. I have a rose garden, and the rabbits just stripped the bugs off every cane, and I cut them down, and they came back right up. This year, they've gone on other plants. One of my prize plants, a hydrangea limelight, which is about 6 feet tall.
Wow.
They went onto the middle and strip off the bark. So I know if I cut it down to, it's going to be like 4 inches from 6 feet to 2 inches. Okay. If I cut it down, I don't know if it will even grow back up. So you said something about the lark.
So here's what I suggest. If the hydrangea, I'm surprised they're eating hydrangea because it's not really that tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact that they chewed so high up means you had snow all around and they were on top of the snow eating the bark. Is the bark removed from the hydrangea, the limelight hydrangea? Is it girdled all the way around the stem or is it just missing in spots?
All around, even the roses.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah. And it's not just the limelight, but also my oak leaf hydrangea.
Oh, really? Wow.
It went over everything.
Right. So when a plant, a woody plant, loses its bark all the way around the stem, so not just little bits missing or tips missing, but actually bark missing all the way around the stem, we call that girdled. So and that makes sense, right? It's like a girdle all the way around the stem has been removed, and it can kill that branch or that plant. So a recommendation, and like I said, this was from a listener last year. So lac, L-A-C, lac, is the first word. And then balsam, like the tree, B-A-L-S-A-M. Now I see quickly on my computer, it appears to be available on Amazon.ca. Is it available anywhere else? I'm not sure. But it is designed specifically for the, for what you've had happen. Like it, it's the open wounds that need to be closed and protected from insects and also decay. Like we really need to encourage these plants to grow if they can. If they don't grow, you'll have to cut off above, you know, sorry, cut off all the woody growth just below the girdles. But yeah, hopefully you can get on that.
Okay. So
good luck.
Amazon has it, because when I was, when I put it through, it came out like a drink, and I'm saying, no, that's no good. Okay, so I'll go into Amazon and look for it. Thank you very much, Charlie. Okay.
You're very welcome.
Thanks very much. And yeah, make sure you call back again, and you don't be a stranger. Thank you.
That's right.
Okay, let's. We have looks like we have Anne on the line again from Georgetown. Welcome. I think welcome back to the Garden Show, Anne.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention to Charlie, people were talking about slugs in the garden. Mm-hmm. I've been saving over the wintertime eggshells,
right,
and I put them all around my grass line to the garden, and mm-hmm, I don't get any slugs going in my flowers.
Mm,
so I just wanted to let people know they work for me.
Yeah, and you crush them all up, I assume?
Right.
And then just sprinkle them on the surface. Right. Brilliant. And who loves hostas more than slugs? When we get into some rainy weather, we can have a lot of slug damage in the shady parts of our gardens where the shade, you know, plants are, but also where the slugs love to be and love to eat. So eggshells are like little shards of glass to a slug, and they work really, really well. So good tip.
Okay, thanks very much, Anne. We appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And also, of course, Charlie, those eggshells become compost. They eventually dissolve into the soil.
Yeah. They slowly do. And, of course, what's in an eggshell? Phosphorus, calcium. These are all micronutrients required by plants. So it's not a fertilizer right away. It's a very slow release. But there's the physical barrier, and then there's the slow release of the minerals that eggshells are made out of. So good point. Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. We are going to jump into our last break, but we'll be back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are indeed back with The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, and we're in our final segment of this last episode of March of 2023. Yeah, it's amazing.
Spring is coming. I mean, real spring is coming. And Easter and Passover.
Yep.
It's all coming.
It's all coming. And of course, April 1st will be a full moon. And I was pointing this out the other day, because April 1st is a full moon, but it only has 30 days. The next full moon after that is May 1st, which means that we will have a monthly blue moon in May, because then we will get another full moon on the 31st,
which
has to be a very specific thing. Yeah. And it only comes around over a few years, usually. I think the next one is going to be 3 years from now. So
once in a blue moon.
Yeah, I think it's once in a blue moon. What's about once every 33 months, I think, is the average for a blue moon. So there we are. Okay, let's go to Marcia. She is calling from Kleinberg. Welcome to The Garden Show, Marcia.
Thank you. My question is, when should I uncover my rhododendron?
Okay, how is it covered in burlap?
No, it has like a little, those tents, those green tents that you can buy to put over them.
Okay. I would uncover it even today, if you can. The covers for rhododendrons, it's a broadleaf evergreen. We cover them to protect them from wind, cold wind in the winter, and also sun. If it's in a spot where it gets a lot of sun because of, you know, there's a tree close by, but it's a deciduous tree. So suddenly there's a lot of sun in the winter, but it's shady in the summer. those little tents can be very, very useful. But I find if you leave them too long, the flower buds will not open. They will drop off. So I would get that off sooner than later.
Okay, that's great.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thanks
so much. My rhododendron. Love my rhododendron. You know it's spring when it's blooming.
You love those.
They're so bright. Like they're really tough ones. I have one called PJM, so it's the most hardy. Mm-hmm. Bright, like magenta, pinky purple, super bright. Like knock your socks off. It's so bright. Makes you smile.
Yeah. You know, so many of those things popping up. Just seeing the little tips pop up makes me smile.
Yeah.
And I am looking forward to seeing all the tulips that we planted in the fall. I just, I just thought, eventually they'll come up and we'll see them. And I'm just looking forward to it.
Yeah, you will. And you'll stand back and say, this is like a photographic opportunity.
Yeah. Gardening, it really is good for the soul. Good for the soul. Okay, let's go to our next caller, which I think will be probably our last caller of the show. We have Cheryl on the line from Wasauga Beach. Welcome to the Garden Show, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Morning.
Hi, Charlie. Hi, Dean.
Hi. What do you got?
Keeping on the rabbit theme, my bridleries were their favorite this year. So they are not going to bloom quite the same way. And some of them have been chopped back quite substantially. I'm just wondering, is it time to maybe just cut them back? And can you do that? Can you cut them back significantly, knowing that I won't get flowers this year? Just to reshape them a little bit and to do something about the fact that at least two of them have been damaged.
Okay, so in the case of the damage, it's mostly tip damage, like they chewed the tips of the branches, or is it kind of right in the center of the plant as well?
No, it's they've cut probably about a foot off of some of the branches.
Right.
Very short right now.
Sure. And the bridal wreath for sure. That's the kind of spirea they are.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So the reason I bring that up is most of the spirea we grow are forms of spirea that can take quite hard pruning, particularly in the spring, where we shear them really, like we almost bring them right down to, a foot or two tall. And then they'll grow new growth in June and they'll bloom in late June and July on that new growth. And they are beautiful and they can be very, very effective in the garden and, easy, tough plants. Bridal wreath, we never shear it. If we can possibly not do that, it's a good thing. And the reason why is because it doesn't take to shearing. We don't want to make them into balls. We want them to do their thing. And their thing is to look like a waterfall. So they grow up from the ground and then arch over and then grow down theoretically to the ground. And they flower along that whole branch. And that's where that bridal wreath name comes from, is that they were used and can be used in bridal bouquets and bridal decor because they bloom in June. And that's, of course, wedding time. So bridal wreath spirea pruned properly is only ever pruned from the ground up, like from ground level. And you only take out the oldest branches at ground level and you allow new growth to sprout up and, younger growth to grow and let it do its thing. So what I would do is I wouldn't worry about damage where they've left behind, unless it's really ragged and you just want to clean up some of the growth, so it's any of the damage. But I wouldn't go nuts, chopping the whole thing down to a little ball. I would wait and see where your new growth comes. You want its natural form to happen if you can. And so give it a chance to do that growing. And then you'll go in, at that time and you'll be able to see there might be some dead wood in there. There might be some parts that really need to be removed. But give yourself another couple of weeks till you start to see a bit of growth before you decide what to prune.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so
much. Makes sense. You're very welcome.
Thanks, Cheryl, and have a great weekend. As a couple of the callers mentioned, Charlie, of course, next weekend is Easter.
Yes. Good Friday, followed by my birthday, followed by Easter.
Right.
There you go. It doesn't get better than that.
There you go.
National holiday. International.
And you are going to be in the Toronto studio next week.
I am. I invited my family to join me because it's my birthday. Yeah. I decided that I wanted to go to the theater on Saturday, next Saturday afternoon after the radio show. Mm-hmm. So I bought tickets for my family, invited them to join me for brunch. And that's how I'm celebrating Easter and Passover, is going to the theater. And I will report back. I think it's going to be great. It's a musical. I'm a total sucker for musicals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're preaching to the choir. Yeah, for sure.
I know I am. Yeah, exactly.
Well, again, Charlie's emailed. Again, if you have an announcement you'd like to get to her, again, a couple of weeks before it's best, or a photograph of something, maybe you think it's better to send a photo, c.dobbin@mzmedia.com.
And thank you again for reaching out as a helpful person, because remember, that's part of what happened. There's the idea of the grasses that need to be cut down and removed, and you know, love it when we've got listeners who are wanting to help out. So thank you again for all your tips, all your tricks, all your techniques. We appreciate them. Questions are great as well, of course. Keeps me on my toes and makes Dean do some research too. And we didn't even talk about amaryllis today. Oh my gosh. Thanks, everybody. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.